We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere.
Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
I got to turn the mic on, y'all. Good morning. I know. I've got weekend fog in my brain. I'm still foggy from the weekend. I slept a lot. Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. The beautiful Tina Dobbs is over there running that iPad. And our guest this morning is Pastor Scott Rogers. How are you this morning?
I'm good. I'm usually on Tuesday, so this is my head's a little groggy too on Monday. There you go. No, I'm glad to be here.
We're glad you could come this morning. If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837. And you can still post it to our Facebook page. And we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we're going to start getting everything posted this afternoon.
You did that almost in one breath. That's pretty impressive.
If you would like to be put on the blessing wheel for the book for the month of April, all you have to do is like, share, and comment. Done. The book for this month is The Shelter of God's Promises by Sheila Walsh. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it all. Would you please pray to start us out?
Love to. Sure. Let's center ourselves today. Gracious and almighty God, as we breathe in and we breathe out, we breathe in your spirit. We exhale all the worries and the fog and all the things that have that cloud our minds and our hearts. And once again, we offer ourselves to you. We pray, Lord, that during the next few minutes as we talk about your word, as we reflect on what it means to encounter you, may you truly send your spirit to guide and touch our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I like your title this morning, Encounters.
Encounters. Yeah. So we're going to look at, in each half of the program, two encounters the disciples had with Jesus post-resurrection. And so we're going to kind of look at the story, two stories, one about Thomas and one about Peter. Both pretty famous stories, but I want to look at them for a couple of different reasons. But I want to start this morning, and I want to talk a little bit about one of those stories in my life that I had to truly see to believe. So this was a number of years ago now, but I was pastoring another community, and I'm not much. I don't think I've said this, but I'm not much of a fisherman. I've fished a few times in my life. It's just not my thing. You know, some people are like, oh, I can't wait to get out on the lake. The idea of sitting out in a boat for 5 hours, not catching anything, does not interest me whatsoever. There's nothing relaxing about that. But for some, I'm glad there is. But one of the things I did enjoy is when I lived up in northeastern Oklahoma, there was a thing called snagging, where you had a big rod, you threw it on the lake, and you would literally drag your hook back to you and hope to snag a spoonbill type of fish. Now that was more fun because it was constant action. I mean, you were throwing and reeling. And if you got something, I mean, it was a battle because these things were, 20, 25 pounds. And by the way, delicious eating. One of the best eating fish I've ever had. And so I'd done this for a few times, and I quite enjoyed it. And one afternoon, my buddy calls, and he said, "You'll never guess what happened today." I was like, "What?" He goes, "I snagged a 50-pound spoonbill." Now, I had seen, the biggest I'd seen at that point, probably 30. This is 20 more pounds, almost double the size. Not quite double, but almost double the size. And I bet you can guess what my next line was. No way. You didn't catch no 50-pound spoonbill. You know, I mean, legit, right? I mean, which one of us hasn't had a fisherman or fisher person in their life who might have exaggerated the size of a fish? I mean, you know, catch fish this size, but by the time the story's over, it's gigantor, right? I'm like, he didn't catch a 50-pound spoonbill. There's no way. I'm like, okay, sure, you know. I mean, I'm giving him some stuff. I mean, I don't believe him at all, okay? And so at that point, you have a choice to make. When somebody tells you something like that, do you actually believe that he caught a 50-pound spoonbill? Well, I thought to myself, you know what? I'll just drive over to his house and go see it. Drove up to his house. He opened the garage. And there was this gigantor fish. And he put it on one of his scales. And it was truly 50 pounds. By the way, he was delicious after we cooked him up. Massive fish. But here's the question. Do you believe that story really happened? I just told it to you. Do you believe that story really happened?
No way.
Tina? Okay, so we've got 50% here, right? One of you says, I'm telling a story that really happened. And one of you says, that really didn't happen. No, you just made that up for this, right? Let me ask you this. Why did you come back and say, no, I don't think that really happened. I think you just made that story up. Why did you think that?
Because that's a lot of fish, man.
It is a lot of fish, isn't it? So it feels weird, doesn't it? And I know, Tina, I don't know if you have a mic, but why, real quick, just real loudly, why did you say, I think that story actually is true?
Well, I've seen fish that are that big before.
Yeah.
So it's not,
it's possible,
out of the realm of reality.
Right. Okay. So it's interesting because so much of what we believe is about whether or not we trust the person telling the story. I did not believe my friend. And by the way, the story is 100% true.
Wow.
This, you know, now look, preachers have been known to exaggerate a story or two, too. But this one actually really did happen. Tina was right. I did not believe him. Now, I trust, he was a friend of mine. I would have trusted him with all kinds of stuff, but I did not trust him when he said 50-pound fish. You and I have now, this is probably the I don't know, 20th or 30th show we've done together. You didn't believe me. Now, we have a good relationship, but you didn't believe me. You're like, he's just telling a story. I don't blame you. I did this experiment just a few weeks ago with our youth, and about half of them said, that story's real, and about half of them were like, even after I said, I'm telling you, the story's real. What's interesting about that is that the reason I told that story is, for me personally, I was the only one in the story to actually see the spoonbill. You haven't seen it. You didn't see it. And I didn't see it until I went to the guy's house to see it, right? Once I saw it, I certainly believed, right? So one of the things that I tell people is the most misunderstood passage maybe in the entire Bible is the story that we unaffectionately call Doubting Thomas. That is not fair at all. Because think about what we just did. I wonder if you, those of you who are watching, I wonder if you think, you were thinking, I wonder if it's true or not. Now, you're watching a program. The people at Hour of Power, you know, when I first moved to Elk City, called me and asked me to be on the show. I've done, again, probably 30 shows now. Why did you trust me or not trust me with that story? Does it mean you're a doubter if you said no? No. Does it mean you're just an overbeliever if you said yes? No. But your experience with whether people tell you the truth or not, whether something seems believable or not, like just a difference of experiences. You said, that's a big fish. And you're right, it was a big fish. And you said, well, I've seen fish like that size, so it's possible, right? Just your worldview made a difference. Go to the story in John 20. The night Jesus resurrects, he comes through the locked door, which is pretty cool, by the way, and he meets the disciples, the 10 of them that are left. Judas, of course, is gone, and Thomas, for whatever reason, is not there. And he walks in, he sees them, and they see the nail marks, and he talks to them. Remember, he says, peace be still. He says, you know, put the Holy Spirit on them. It's a beautiful text in John 20, right? But imagine you're Thomas walking back in 30 minutes later. You ever got something 30 minutes late and wish you'd been there on time? But Thomas walks in. He's heard them all day. He's heard Peter and John talk about, you know, we ran to the tomb this morning, and John outran me, Peter said. But Peter's like, I went in, and I didn't see his, you know, his body there. I don't know what to do with this, but, you know, there's this sense of excitement all day long. And sure enough, he comes and he sees them. But Thomas isn't there. So when Thomas walks in, imagine the euphoria of the other 10 disciples. Dude, we saw Jesus. He came in here. He showed up right here a few minutes ago. We saw the nail marks where they crucified him. We saw the hole in his side where they pierced him. Dude, you should have been here. Thomas is like, you didn't see him. There's no way that happened. I mean, I hear you. I know this morning, Peter, you said you ran to the tomb and you saw the empty grave. I get it. And now you're telling me all this. But the truth is, I haven't seen him. But before you start calling Thomas the doubter, how many of us actually, if you took all those pieces off that story, would be just in the same boat? Think about the spoonbill story I just told you. How quickly it was to, well, is he telling a story or is he telling the truth? Or is he trying to bait us? I mean, what's he doing? Thomas says, unless I see the nail marks, unless I can put my hand in his side, unless I can see him, I won't believe. In the story I told you, which was true, I did not believe my friend, who was my friend, until I went in the garage and saw the fish. I saw, and then I believed. See, that's part of our MO. We don't always like to admit to that. We don't like to admit to the fact that sometimes we need evidence or we want things to prove out, right? We want to simply, you know, when people ask us, do you believe in Jesus? Yes, I believe in Jesus. And then when they tell you why, you kind of just go, well, because. And then they're like, well, that's not good enough. And then it's a catch-22. Well, sure enough, it's one of the first encounters we're going to talk about. 1 week later, to the day, so the next Sunday afternoon, once again, behind locked doors, the disciples are gathered, and Thomas happens to be there this time. And once again, Jesus walks in through the locked door. And to me, it's one of the most interesting encounters with Jesus in the entire scripture. Jesus barely says hello. He says, peace be with you, as he's walking in. And he doesn't stop to go, Peter, how are you, bro? Man, it's good to see you again. You know, man, you know, last week, it's been a great week, hasn't it? You know, he doesn't stop to do any of that. He says, peace be with you. And he walks right up to Thomas. I mean, like, makes a beeline for him. You know, if you have you ever gone into a room with a lot of people and there's a guy or a gal you wanted to talk to, you just make a beeline for him. There's all kinds of commotion around you, but you, Jesus does that. And he walks right up to Thomas. Doesn't say, Thomas, how are you doing? Or, man, Thomas, let me help you out. Or, Thomas, he goes, Thomas, look. Take your finger. I can almost see Jesus sort of reach out for his hand and put it here. Now take your hand and put it there on the side. You see, Jesus wants Thomas to believe. And this encounter is about belief. What are you willing to believe? Are you willing to believe those other 10 disciples when they say to you, we saw Jesus? When you heard Mary Magdalene that morning come back to the upper room and say, I've seen the Lord. Are you willing to believe that or not? Well, for Thomas, he had a moment like I had going over to the garage to see the spoonbill. He got to see and to touch. And literally on the heels of that makes one of the most important confessions in all the scripture. He says, my Lord and my God. Jesus had told him to stop doubting and believe. And Thomas said, my Lord and my God. Thomas came around. He didn't necessarily buy it from his buddies. And so I guess by definition, if that makes him a doubter, I guess that you can call him Doubting Thomas if you'd like. But I think he's more like us than we ever want to admit. The fact is, when Jesus came in and said, touch my hands and touch my side, and says, stop doubting, believe. I mean, this is what you said, Thomas, right? You said, Thomas, that if I will only believe if I stick my fingers in nail marks and my hand in his side. Now that you've done that, stop doubting and believe. And Thomas does. In fact, we have evidence that Thomas most likely went as far as India with the message of Jesus during his lifetime. He became an evangelist all the way to India where he died. I mean, that's pretty incredible if you think about a man who literally started out being called Doubting Thomas, ends up all the way in India. It's pretty incredible, actually. But then Jesus, so this is an encounter, right? This is an encounter with Jesus post-resurrection that literally changes the trajectory of the story. He's met with the disciples, but the one who wouldn't buy it, the one who wasn't there for the encounter, Jesus comes and encounters. Jesus has what I like to call a divine appointment with Thomas. And if that was the whole story of this encounter, if that was the full and complete meaning of this story, that would be enough. It really would. I mean, trust me, every preacher likes this story for preaching purposes. There's a lot you could do with this. Shh, don't tell anybody. There's a lot you could do with this, right? There's a lot of angles you can do. A lot of sermons on this one. But there's one more line that often gets forgotten in this text. And it's really another encounter. That's why I said encounters. In fact, the way I described to you is encounters. Because it looks like one encounter, right? This is Jesus and Thomas. We know this story. I didn't really need to retell it to you. If you know anything about the scriptures or post-resurrection, my guess is you've gone to a church and heard this sermon recently. It's right after Easter, right? This is a very famous, very, very powerful passage. But listen to this. It's in verse 29. Then Jesus told Thomas, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." Listen to that again. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed. Do you know who he's talking about? He's talking about encountering you. All of us post that day in many ways. Because the truth is, I've seen the works of Jesus. I've felt the presence of Jesus. But I can't say that I've actually seen Jesus. Now, I've seen pictures of Jesus. I have images that come to my mind when I think of Jesus, right? I have felt close to Jesus. But to truly say that I saw him like I saw the spoonbill? No. And that goes back to trust. You see, sometimes I think we are too quick to judge those that aren't believers yet. Well, you know, they're just heathens, or they're bad, we have all these things we say about them, right? The truth is, I get it. Belief is not easy, because belief involves trust. It involves believing the messenger in this case. Because guess who the messengers become? These very disciples, right? We see this all throughout the book of Acts when they start the church, right? Guess what? Thomas didn't believe them. Thomas was one of them. I mean, think about that for a moment. We end up believing the message through these guys and gals, and Thomas, who was literally one of them, didn't. Think about that for a moment. Thomas didn't even buy it. And yet, that's what we ask of people. That's what the Lord asks of each of us, to believe, to have faith where we've not yet seen that whole, right, Hebrews 11 passage, right? Hebrews 12 passage. For me, this encounter is a reminder of what real faith and trust look like. Faith and trust lead to belief. One of the genres right now on TV, and there's actually a show I'm watching that does this. It's all about misdirection, right? You know, you, as soon as you think you understand, something else happens. You know, we like it. It's part of our human psyche. We kind of like shows like that keep us on the edge of our seat. You know, like, okay, I think I got it. I got it. I know who. Oh, wait a minute. You know, right? There's a show on right now I'm watching where you think that this dude has been killed. Well, you find out in a couple episodes, no, he's really not, and he's orchestrating all. It's like, whoa! And then you have to go back because you're like, did I miss something? You know, those are great, right? Look at us. We're all like, yeah, you know, they're fun to watch. But it does play on our psyche that we are very quick to trust and mistrust. Believe and not believe. Doubt or not doubt, very quickly. And so part of what we do is when we offer encounters with Jesus, when we do that very most ancient thing of weekly worship. Well, I went to worship last week. Well, sure you did. But we need that every week as part of that healthy Christian life, that repetition, that continuing to come to church and sing, you know, holy, 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 or to sing whatever song is on right now. I mean, you know what I mean? To sing and to hear and to read the scriptures and to preach and to receive communion and all the things that we do to continue to give us encounters with Jesus. Praying every day, reading the Bible every day, spending time with Christian friends every day. I mean, look, I don't think Jesus, I'm thankful for those who are called to an aesthetic lifestyle like a monks and stuff. I'm glad they do that. I don't think Jesus has any problem with the fact that I like to go watch my football. All right? I just don't. Now, how I act and what I do, that's a whole other story. We can talk about that another time. That's a whole other program. But I don't think Jesus minds the fact that, you know, I like a little football here and there, right? But it's the fact that, you know, one of the cool things when I go to a football game, especially like when I go to see an OU game in Norman, one of my best friends that I don't see very often, we get to hook up and see each other for about, you know, 15, 20 minutes. And it's neat because we still check on each other. I mean, literally I've known this guy now since we started college together. By the way, that dude just became a grandpa, and I have laughed at him that he was a grandpa before I was. He's older than I am by, you know, 4 months. And so, you know, but we've been doing this to each other for years. That's part of that repetition. If he and I stopped talking to each other, we would eventually grow apart. Now, we might see each other years from now and go, hey, bud, you know, it's good to see you again. But not have those kinds of conversations. You have to continually build that. And that's why I said encounters. Because we all encounter Jesus at some point. But it's those encounters that change everything. Now, the first half today, we talked about the encounter for belief. The second part of the program, we're going to look at another encounter, and that's the encounter with Peter. Okay. And we're not going to look at it just for the terms of belief, but we're going to look at it in terms of forgiveness, pardon, and mission. Because I think that's the next step. We might believe something, but are we willing to go do something? That's an encounter too, and we'll talk about that here in a little while.